So, thank you very much for inviting me to come and talk about international collaboration on wind integration. So, this is collaboration that we are doing in IEA. So, IEA stands for International Energy Agency. And in addition of having the headquarters in Paris making these big outlook, energy outlook reports, they also have technology-wise collaboration. And under wind, we have a research task that deals with wind integration. And we've been ongoing for 10 years. We are now 18 participants. And we have started with making summaries and state-of-the-art reports on the integration studies and research that is ongoing in all the countries. In addition to that, about 2 years ago, we published the first recommended practices on wind integration. So this is a report where we have tried to summarize the best knowledge we know about how to make integration study, what is important to take into account when you try to study the impacts of wind power to the power system and to the markets and the networks. In addition to that, we have just published some fact sheets where we try to in a short and more common language, deal with the main issues of wind integration. So all this is available in our website that you can see here. Regarding the wind integration, in addition to looking at many studies, we also gather experience. And actually, this is growing very much in recent years. So you can see here the map where you see the situation based on 2014 data. I must say that I was a bit surprised to see in previous presentations that Germany is in 20%. In my slide, it is in 10%. And I doubt that in 1 year's time they would jump to 20%. But I hope that perhaps you can also check your numbers, because from Germany you do see different numbers depending on whether it's the wind terawatt hours as percentage of the whole gross demand, also including industry, or is it only the part of demand that is actually paying for the feed-in tariffs. So, yeah, need to check the Germany point. I'm pretty confident I'm right and everybody else is wrong, but let's see. I'm willing to change this if you convince me. But anyway, we have these countries that already have more than 20% coming from wind, and countries that are moving fast towards that number. And we already know that when the system operators operate the system, they really need updated information from both the online generation and the forecasts, and the possibility to move down the generation level in critical situations to curtail the wind. We also know that they report that they have actually been using a little bit more short-term reserves, operational reserves, load following, balancing. And one thing that is now happening a lot is that the wind power plants also have possibilities to be flexible. So all the technical capabilities of wind are evolving a lot. Also, up to 20-30%, it has gone pretty smoothly with this experience, but we also know that the operational strategies will have to evolve when we have even more wind in the system. And one thing that is very important in wind integration is the transmission, the trade and collaboration with the neighboring balancing areas. So then going to the challenges. So the first one, looking at the transmission grid, it's just that often wind power is connected to parts of the grid that is not very strong or is quite far away from the load centers. And this is examples that we see here from China, from Germany. So looking at the power balances, we need a lot of transmission inside the countries. This is not happening in all of the countries, but this is in many of the countries a big issue, that you also need to reinforce the transmission grid when you build a lot of wind. When you build a lot of wind, so I'm talking about 30, 40, 50% of the yearly demand coming from wind power, then you need to look more into detail of your transmission network, how it operates. So mainly the stability issues also you need to take into account. This is just a very simple graph showing what is meant by stability. So when there is a small disturbance, if the system is stable, it will stay nicely, roll back to the normal position. If it's not, we will lose it. So this is related to the blackouts, and this is something that we want to avoid at any cost. And here I have an example of Ireland, which is the first really small power system that is dealing with accommodating, according to their plans, almost 40% wind of yearly demand. So we see here that there are actually, what I want to say with this graph is that you need to, do a lot of things. First of all, just technical performance. You need to have the capabilities of all the power plants and the wind power plants and all the system services and perhaps demand taking part, and also ROCOF means the rate of change of frequency, which is in a small system very, very critical. Then you need to have the tools of the system operator to deal with the stability and the balancing and also the longer term planning. And then you need to have the policies in place. Another challenge is the variability and uncertainty. So the variability of minute, second, hourly variations will be very much smoothed when you have a larger area. However, you will still have low and high wind days, and this will have these price impacts like we've seen in many of the presentations of today. Regarding uncertainty, the forecasting is still improving. This is example from Germany, also showing that if you have to forecast for a single wind farm, the error on average with different time horizons is much higher than if you can forecast to a large group of turbines. And what this means for the power system operation is how the other power plants will need to accommodate. So this is an example coming from western part of US, where you have a very basic base load and then mainly gas power plants following the load. And when you start adding solar in yellow and orange and wind in blue, you will start seeing that the gas goes down a lot, the hydro will see different patterns, and even some of the base load plants will go down. And then the question is, of course, that will this cause extra cost, this balancing, this cycling of the thermal power plants? And it also, as an example from the US, shows that there is very, very little impacts on actually the balancing. So the sort of the emission reductions from wind are very large, and the cycling impact to emissions is very, very low. One challenge that we start seeing in power systems with a lot of wind power is that then the wind gets curtailed and they lose part of the energy. And this is, of course, a problem and showing that there are some inflexibilities in the system. And what is interesting to see is that when we look at the European case, this is what we were expecting, that you only start seeing some curtailments when you start having really lot of wind power, and of course a bit more if you have a very small system like the Ireland. Whereas from other countries, we actually see a totally different curves, and this means that, for example, China and Italy and Texas, they have all had problems in their transmission. So they have started building the wind power plants, but the transmission lines are not yet there. And this causes a lot of curtailments in the beginning, but when they add more wind, when the transmission line is there, suddenly the curtailments disappear. Then another challenge that is related to a lot what has been talked today about capacity adequacy and what is happening happening to the conventional power plants. So they start complaining, especially the gas power plants, that they have stranded costs and they will get out of the markets because they get so little time of operation. And of course you can say that, yes, this is exactly what we want. That's why we build wind and solar, to reduce the fossil fuels. But then again, it is a challenge. At first, we can just say it's overcapacity. You can just let it go. But at some stage, of course, you need to check the adequacy of your system. And then you need to also check how much wind power can bring firm capacity to the system. So how much of the other power plants can be retired with still being able to meet the peak loads. And this is just a summary, an example of what we publish in our summary reports, where we show from different countries, depending on the share of wind in the system, how much is the capacity value. And in the beginning, it's usually very high. And when you start adding more and more wind, it gets down. But there are also some differences, like we have the New York case, where on-land wind has pretty low capacity value, whereas the offshore wind actually has a very high one. So it depends also, of course, on what patterns, if there are any correlations of the load and the wind happening during the peak loads, how much this actually is. Regarding the wind integration, the main word is flexibility. So really to increase the flexibility in the power systems or incentivize the existing flexibility to be used. And you can have the flexibility in generation side, like here in green, or in the demand side. And also there will be different costs to get to this flexibility. So at the moment, or in conventional systems, it's mostly the generation power plants that will provide this flexibility. But when you want to increase it, you can use the traditional storage that is already cost effective, or you can add new ones, which are probably the most costly flexibility. And then you have all these yellow possibilities, for example, just changing your operational practices, doing your balancing together with your neighbors, or sharing your balancing task with your neighbors or neighboring areas, and this will reduce all the balancing need a lot. I have one example here. This is just a snapshot, I would say, work ongoing, but just to show what we are currently doing in many of the studies. We are actually looking at a power system operation, a yearly operation of a power system with a lot of wind, like a future situation. We simulate it hourly and we look at the costs. And then we apply some flexibility options. Like here, all these, this is like comparison of benefits and costs for every single option of flexibility. So for example, in this Northern European case with a lot of wind, we see that transmission has a very high cost-benefit ratio. It's very beneficial to build transmission either just what we already foresee as possible, or even an unlimited case of transmission lines would be very beneficial. Much would cost much less than it brings benefits or reduces the system operational costs. Also in the Northern Europe case, we see a lot of benefits from the thermal side, so putting the electricity and the heat sectors together, because the heat sector, the thermal storages are already very cost effective. And then we have heat boilers, we have heat storages, we have electrical boilers, heat pumps, or we can put them all together, and we see already there's a lot of benefits in those. Demand side here is actually without the costs. It's only showing the benefit, because it's also difficult to actually know the real cost of demand side options. So this might be a bit over optimistic, And well, batteries, that's a challenge. We have here something like 40 to 55% of yearly energy coming mostly from wind in different northern European countries, so Germany, Baltic countries, Nordic countries, and Poland. And in these cases, the cost of battery should be very, very low before it would really have cost benefit, any cost, sort of positive cost benefit ratio. So it should be less than 100 euros per megawatt hour before it would be cost effective. Then, of course, flexibility from wind power could be used more. And here is an example of Colorado, where sometimes during the night they have to curtail the wind farm. And when they then put the wind farm to AGC, automatic generation control, to provide secondary control, they can actually then deal with providing the system with secondary control. And this will, of course, enable also the conventional power plants can be shut down, because then wind power can provide some of the frequency control. And this is something that is happening more and more, and just showing that this is really feasible. Wind power actually provides very fast, nice response with pitch control. So I will end my presentation by concluding in a sort of general slide, that when we are looking at a renewable future and the transition towards it, it really means adaptation. So basically, we can make it easier, the integration, if we build out the wind power in a dispersed way with a lot of smoothing effect, and if we also operate the system in larger areas, so transmission grid then needs to be strong enough to do that. And also these operational practices of balancing are very important, and as we have seen from much of the discussions in the last session, really you can have these systems where also the balancing cost for wind is transparent and cost reflective, and it's small, and wind power also can participate in these markets. And then flexibility is one of the key words. And we know that the integration effort will be different for different systems, and we also know that if the system will adapt with operational practices and looking at all the flexibility available, then the costs will be much smaller. So this was my presentation. I here just list the countries and persons and institutes that are currently participating, and look forward to perhaps adding an Austrian name here in the list in future. Thank you.